You wanna know how to find it? Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 421, recorded live on October 14th, 2015. I'm your host, Ted Hard Hat with
Scott Perks,
Stevens ad infinitum,
and Pass 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter. And Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is brought to you by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Hey, we got the band back together.
Go.
And
there are four of us.
And yes, in the spirit and wonderfulness to Back to the Future 2, the Cubs are actually in the playoffs.
Yeah, sorry about last week, guys, but the Cubs were in the playoffs to go to the National League Central Division.
Well, it's like, when's the next time that going to happen, you know?
Exactly. Last time that happened was 2007. That's the last time that happened, just FYI. So, and before that was 1989. Okay, no, I'm sorry, 2003 and 89.
Yes.
Yeah, when that game happens, Scott's watching TV.
All right, so we give you a free pass for that one. And, you know, wouldn't it be cool if they actually do win the actual World Series to Mitch with the movie?
I would cry like a little boy.
It would be awesome. A lot of people would cry like little kids.
Like, did you see? I'm sure you guys didn't see because you're not from Chicago. Why would you care? But like, the town was going crazy when they just won the wild card game. The town was going crazy.
Like Boston when they broke the curse of the big the Bambino.
Right. I mean.
What
a really cool stat was is, I mean, I don't know if you guys know how much you know about the Cubs and the history of the Cubs and whatnot, even Wrigley Field for that matter. Wrigley Field's over 100 years old. It's the oldest ballpark there is. And they had an amazing stat up that, like, the Chicago has never won their division at Wrigley. That was the first time they ever won it.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Out of 100 years.
100 plus years. Wrigley's over 100 years old.
Holy cow.
Pretty amazing stat. Yeah, I thought that was pretty impressive. Like, Chicago has never celebrated that win in Chicago.
Hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, like you said, good reason for.
Yeah, they're gonna either play. They're gonna play the Mets or the Dodgers. Game 5 tomorrow, between those two. So.
All right. Well, good luck to them all.
I don't want to play the Mets. Bring out the Dodgers.
Whatever works. I'm used to the Tigers. I couldn't even tell you what baseball is anymore. I'm just saying.
You know, I just want them to get there. I'm like, you know. I was telling these guys off the air, I'm 45, almost 45. My dad's 76 years old. Neither of us have seen the Cubs go to the World Series. My poor father is 76 years old. His entire life he's been a Cubs fan. You know, and they're so close. They got such a good team. And but it is the Cubs. I mean, if anybody follows Chicago lore with the Cubs especially, it is the Cubs.
Yeah.
So we're just hoping for you hope for the best, but you expect a I mean,
you get, like, you know, baseball too. I mean, baseball or football for Detroit, it's like, oh, it's 63-0. Okay.
Yeah.
The Cubs.
There's so many different, I mean, 2007, they were 5 outs away from the World Series and they blew it. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just the Cubs. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah. It's good to see you having the passion for it, though. That's what counts. Oh, yeah.
Any Cub fan you know is a diehard Cub fan. They are super fans. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I followed the Astros for a bit while I was there, but you know, I was never a diehard Astro fan. But they're another team, even though their history is only around 60 years old now. They're another team that has well, they've never made it to the World Series.
Yeah.
And they've come so close. You know, they basically, you know, they look like they're gonna win and gonna have it, and you know, five strikes from making it, and then you know something stupid happens, and you're like, what the hell?
All I remember about
you not want to be a fan.
Yeah, the only thing I remember about the World Series was in '68 for the Tigers. I was 6 years old, and driving down the road with a lot of people honking. You know, the everybody for some reason has to get in the car, go drive someplace obligatory, and see toilet paper thrown all over the place. I don't get it. It's that's all I remember.
So you were alive. I wasn't alive for this. You were alive for the '69 Cubs.
Yes.
When the Mets beat the Cubs, the Cubs were 13 games ahead of the Mets.
Because the Tigers won the year before in '68.
And the Cubs blew it. They blew a 13-game lead, which is incredible. It was unheard of.
Yep. But all right.
Shake your head and say it's the Cubs.
Yep, that's it. We do that with the Tigers. That's how it is.
So sorry I missed last week, guys. Hopefully the Cubs won't be playing on Wednesdays anymore. Except they are. I'm not going to be here until the season's over.
That's it. We actually did do geocaching, though, this weekend. It was International Geocaching Day. Or, I'm sorry, International Earth Cache Day, which was Sunday the 11th. And, wife Amy and I had a lot of fun getting lost on trails and trying to find, we went on a geological trail, rock trail, that showed different geological rocks, sandstone, all that fun stuff that's in the area, and had a lot of fun, but finding the trailhead was a whole adventure, and we'll talk about that tomorrow on GeoSnippets Reboot, but let's just say we didn't quite come to blows, but there was a lot of, well, I said... And it wasn't me. It was me not listening to my wife and going that way. And then actually following a person that came by and said, oh, we're going to the rock trail. Follow us. And after a mile and a half hike, realizing you did a complete loop back to the original spot where you now are and still didn't see anything.
But you got your steps in, isn't that really
we nice? Got the steps. We yeah, did. We got the – that was like, it was a beautiful day. Yeah, it was gorgeous out. But it's like, okay, the sun's going down. We got to get this done. And actually, it's tomorrow, GeoSnippets. We'll talk more. Mr. Scott, you were a bit busy too.
I was. I did an Earth Cache for Earth Cache Day, and I actually periscoped it.
Yes, that was cool.
But a couple weeks ago, I took that trip to Mingo, which I never got a chance to talk about last week, which was a phenomenal trip. Went to the GeoCoin Fest Mega, and I went to listen to these stats. I got the finished stats here really quickly. We got the oldest and second oldest in Nebraska caches. Got the oldest in Kansas and the world, which is Mingo. Got the oldest in Missouri. I got a mega event. I got 48 total caches, which is 3 webcams, 1 mega, 1 event, 1 where I go. What is that? 8 virtuals, 1 letterbox, 2 earth caches, 2 puzzles, and 1 challenge, which was a 5-5.
Wow, so you slumped off this time.
and we traveled over 2,000 miles in 2.5 days.
Oh, my God.
Final tally. Yeah,
wow.
It was a pretty impressive weekend.
When are you going to start taking it serious? I'm just saying.
It ain't me. It's all Shorty. It's all Jesse. She plans this stuff out. I just drive and bitch because we have to drive a lot. That's all I do.
My wife would shoot me for 2,000 miles in 2.5 days. We did 2,000 miles in 4 days moving out here, and that was
You know, we periscoped a ton of the caches that we did and had a great time doing it. We were there for Mingo and all that. And at the mega event, me and I was telling these guys out there, me and Joshua ate testicles, which was really cool. At the coin, me and Joshua actually periscoped us eating testicles. And when you ate a testicle, you actually got a path tag, which anybody who's actually viewing this right now, if you're listening to this at work, obviously you can't see it, but you can see it's a picture of a cow, right? Or is that a bull?
If you're eating testicles, I'm thinking it's a bull.
Right. It's so tiny. I had a ball at GeoCoin Fest is what it said.
Wow. Yeah.
Actually, it was a bull. Now it's a steer.
You know. Usually you're not going to get me to eat testicles, but for a path tag, I'll put one in my mouth. So we had a great time, though. It was a lot of fun. It was a great time hanging out with Josh. You know, I haven't seen him in a while. So.
Yeah.
It was good to hang out with him.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I was very interested about the space airspace museum that was there. That looked awesome.
It was cool. Unfortunately, Jesse and I had like 2 hours and we had to go. You know, it was like one of those things like it's signing in, spend a couple of hours, and then we got to go because we had to get to Mingo. Mingo was 5 hours away from there. So it was like sadly a really quick trip there.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. I mean, the planes were really cool. You know, they had B-52s and stuff like that. It was in these hangars, which I mean, literally, Geo Coin Fest was in the hangars with the planes.
Oh, that's
where,
cool.
That's where it was. So it was really freaking cool. You know, that it was just in there in the hangars.
Wow, Mr. Corey, how about yourself?
You know, I wish I could say that I did a whole lot of geocaching. I lived vicariously through my fellow periscopers. Thank you guys for doing that for me, because I just wasn't filling that up to snuff.
Yep.
Between things that were going on, between feeling a little under the weather and just allergies, I'm just now feeling just on the brighter side of things. So,
all right, good enough.
It just wasn't a time to get out for me anyways.
It would have made a good periscope anyway, so, you know.
Right.
Here's Corey passed out on the side vomiting. Yay. All right, good stuff. No, I know what you feel, man.
My voice, the way it was horrible, so.
Gargling Gershwin. Mr. Taz, you know, what's that?
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, some of the periscopes, when you see them and you pick up some of these periscopes that said, you know, eating testicles.
It's all in the marketing. It really is.
Or it was there. Yeah. Did I say eating balls with a geovlogger?
Yeah, eating balls. Something. But, I mean, some of those you just have to pop on and go, what?
All right, I got to look at this. Yeah. Mm-mm. See, those are the ones you should save. Because that's just too good for archival purposes.
Jesse and I are fighting over whether or not I should start saving them all. You know, just start. You know,
yeah.
But it's so much space on your phone. And yeah. You're just burning through space.
Yeah. See, my luck is all the cool spots where you go geocaching in North Carolina, there's no service. So I can't do a periscope. And it's
I saved Mingo. I've got Mingo.
All right.
Like Periscope Jesse did at Mingo. I made sure I saved that.
Good stuff, because I want to see that one. Mr. Taz, how are you doing, sir?
All right. I was way too busy unpacking boxes to go out and get the International Earth Cache Day Cache. I mean, I wanted to, but, you know, with my wife surrounded by a couple hundred boxes, I figured that if I came back after a couple hours out going to get an Earth Cache, I would be in the serious doghouse. So
you got all this new territory now with the homestead. It's not like you've got it swamped out already.
No, I don't have it swamped out, but it's still a good 30-minute drive to the nearest Earth Cache, and probably spend an hour there and half an hour back. You know, 2 hours away while the rest of the family is unpacking boxes. No, I don't feel like being in that doghouse. So,
and watching San Andreas the movie does not count.
No, it does not count.
Really, 30 minutes away from the closest one. Really, wow.
Yeah,
that was pretty. I'm about 20 minutes away from the closest. That was about
mine. I've saved for like 6 months. It's been there, and it's like I've kept it just for Earth Cache Day. Yeah.
Well, there are about 12 of them that are 30 minutes away, and they're all about 30 minutes away. So,
yeah.
But you know, it's like I got to make the time for it. Now, the week before that, on the drive out here with the family, I did manage to pick up two new states. Picked up New Mexico and Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Good stuff.
That whole trip, I picked up one new state. Kansas.
Yeah. You know, you do a lot of caching when you go, you know, 800, 900 miles and pick up
2,000.
Yeah, really. Exactly. 800, 900 one way and back.
One state.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
I went geocaching 4,000 before, and I picked up two provinces in Canada and only picked up one new state. So,
yeah.
You know, it was tough.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, well, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads is episode 198. And it looks like randomized, and it's a bunch of Roman numbers. It looks like 38. And Chris and Daryl will be returned for a discussion about seemingly random selections of topics in a single episode. So, in other words, they probably don't know. Well, no, I can't say that with Daryl. Daryl knows what he's going to talk about to, like, 2018. I'm just saying. He's got his stuff so marked down.
He already emailed me and said, hey, we're doing a randomized show in the middle of November. You want to, like, join us?
Of this year or some other year? Because you got to be careful with him.
I think it was 2016.
Here you go.
Let me tell you, oh yeah, because like he booked me on the April Fool's show. He booked me on that in last November. He's like, what are you doing in April? I'm like, hopefully breathing. I have no idea what I'm doing in April. Let me check. Yeah, my calendar's clean in April.
So, yeah, be sure to check out tomorrow, Geo Gearheads. And just before that, make sure you stop on by the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast, where wife Amy and I are going to be talking about humor with geocaching. There is just a host. It's just been one of those things where you start seeing all the negativity about geocaching in the news and in the papers and articles and all that fun stuff. So we thought we'd go and explore things like geocaching memes and quotes and sayings and find some humor in geocaching, and there is so much stuff out there, it's ridiculous. It's going to be a fun show, lots of fun sayings, and just see the lighter side of geocaching for once. So that'll be tomorrow on the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast.
Ring the bell.
Good. So just saying. So
when your wife says big log, you got to.
I don't know. She's starting to get pretty pretty out there, so I might have to get a, you know, air horn instead. Just saying. Wow. So also, if you would, please, if you're getting any value out of this crazy show each and every week, please consider becoming a patron. Go on over to geocachingpodcast.com, and on the right side of the screen, click on the Please Support the GCPC and become a patron, and just throw a couple bucks our way each month. We'd greatly appreciate it. We've got hundreds and thousands of listeners. We'd like to see that many people giving out and just throwing a couple bucks our way so that we can keep doing the show without going broke and or doing something unlawful. Just saying. So become a patron. We all would appreciate it so that we don't go to jail. I'm just saying. That's what? How it is. Well, you got to get the money somehow. I'm just, you know, that's how it is.
Wow. I didn't realize that I signed up for that.
This is National Lampoon, like, buy this book and we shoot the dog.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. You didn't see the small print there, Corey. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's move on to the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, how many earth caches have you found? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that on average, cachers have found 54.3 earth caches. Well, it seems that feelings tend to run rather hot or cold towards earth caches. So here's what we heard. Bree Lang on Twitter shared, this past weekend, I found my 75th earth cache. Hey, good work. Well, Deborah on Google+ shared, 27 so far, and I love them, but I am a science teacher after all. Aha. So speaking on the flip side, Carrie shared just 31, not really into them. Dawn on Facebook shared less than 10, I think. I just prefer an actual container, I guess. Well, Dano from Team Pugat shared on Google+, 8, not a fan either. And it's because it's a virtual. I want a log to sign at the location. Technically, all normal standard geocaches should be and are earth caches. You know, Dano, that's an interesting way to put it. Well, I personally have found 50 Earth caches, and I guess I got my 50th on Earth Cache Day on Sunday and got my souvenir. So I do enjoy learning the geology and Earth history, but like Dano, I also prefer finding an actual container and signing the log too. Well, hey, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about Earth caches, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And we also had an extra note from Lisa and JD. They said they're hosting a East Meets West from 2 to 3 p.m. at the Space Coast Geocaching Store booth at Going Caching this Saturday. The East Meets West meet and greet is dedicated time where JD, also known as Kid Vegas 19, and Lisa will be at the booth. They want to meet as many cachers as they can. They are going to be giving away some prizes as well. So by all means, check out the Space Coast Geocaching Store booth and say hi to Lisa from Cash Advance.
So there's no Tupac and Biggie. It's just
right, exactly. It's all you can do. I'm just saying.
It's a 1990s joke. I know the 90s called. They want their joke back.
Yeah, it's that in your hoodie. I'm just saying. All right. Let's move on where we've got the GCPCS episode.
You know, four. Somebody left that joke. Somebody. Whoever left that joke, email me. Tell me who left that joke.
Oh, man. Episode 422. But you can't do that geocaching. Just as much as I said about the humor and trying to find the lighter side of geocaching, this one's going to could very easily go the other way. And it's a discussion that I saw on the forums not too long ago where they were literally just talking about how some geocachers tend to either get right up and start bending the guidelines or out and out break them and get away with it. And they had some examples in there, and I'm hoping some of the hosts will actually have some examples to go by that they may have seen in their geocaching adventures that just kind of go, really? Is that, I mean, really? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, in this, we've got links in the show notes. If you go to Geocaching Podcast, episode 422, we'll have them in the show notes. But here's some of the stuff that they were talking about in general. It said something many people don't realize is that, and they're talking about the guidelines themselves, because everybody goes, the guidelines are the Bible on how this goes. Something many people don't realize is that many of the guidelines are there not primarily to prevent literal damage, but rather to prevent a negative perception of geocaching. We don't want land managers getting the idea that some caches are buried, which is one of the subjects we'll talk tonight, or nailed to trees, because this gives a good reason to ban geocaching from their property entirely. So we're going to go over some of the examples tonight of, you know, how do people get away with some of this stuff? Why would you even do some of this stuff and go from there in the discussion? And again, we'll have the link there. One of the big ones that they brought up right out of the way and just happens to be talking about Mingo is burying a geocache. Mm-hmm. And Mingo is an example. Now, one of the things that people talked about, and since you just saw and held Mingo in your hand, Scott, why don't you tell them what it looks like?
Mingo, you walk up to it and there's a rock. It's literally on the side of a road in the middle of nowhere. And anybody else been there?
I have not yet. That's on my bucket list.
Anybody? No? Okay. And it's you go and there's a rock. You move the rock and it's flat and it's in a hole. The hole is pre-made. You know, it's a pretty good hole, and you just pull Mingo out. Literally just pull it out.
Now, from the pictures that I saw of it, though, it's actually a concrete divot. Mm-hmm. This is actually pre-made.
Like made. Yeah, the hole is made purposely for it. It's there. It's not like it's like just like a dirt hole. It's there. Yeah, it's there for it. I would assume it's there for it.
Well, some of the stuff that I've read about the history of it, which came up in the forum discussion, and again, this deals with geocaches that are perceived as being buried.
Is it buried? Yes. Is it going against the guidelines? Yes. But this was put out in 2001 before the guidelines ever existed. I'm assuming that's grandfathered in. You know,
exactly.
So I didn't put much thought into it just because it's, you know, it's freaking Mingo.
Yes, exactly. And that was one of the discussions.
It could be nailed to a tree for all I care. It's Mingo, for Christ's sake.
That's one of the things that people had brought up, because apparently from the pictures that I've seen Mingo over the past, it actually, somebody had dug a hole. This was back before, like you said, before the guidelines were put into place. Somebody dug a hole, put the container in there. Over time, the hole became more and more pronounced. Mm-hmm. And somebody somewhere, and I don't want to get into the literally mudslinging that deals with this. Eventually, what ends up happening is somebody gets upset about the burying of Mingo, literally goes out there with concrete, makes the divot, makes it permanent, and makes it a permanent fixture into the ground of cement or concrete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I didn't have an issue with it at all.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that it was so really against the guidelines, because I didn't consider it buried. It wasn't like I needed a shovel to get it. You moved a rock, there it was. It's not like it was a big secret, you know? And I found caches like that before in Chicago. We have one in Chicago. There's a really hard puzzle that ends with a piece of wood. It's in the middle of the woods, and there's a piece of wood. You lift the wood, and somebody dug a hole, put an ammo can in the hole, and then covered the hole with a piece of wood. Didn't bury it, just put over the cover. Is that considered buried?
And that's the crux of the bury rule. If you don't use a tool to place the geocache where it needs to go, that is not considered burying.
I didn't think that one was buried either.
Yeah.
This puzzle cache. I stepped over it 1,000 times looking for it. I stepped on it 1,000 times. And when I found it, I screamed F at the top of my lungs. But, like, I didn't hate it. I'm like, damn good hide. You know,
yeah.
I kudos to the hider. You know, and signed along and moved along. You know, but I had no problem with Mingo. I have no problem with that. If you bury it, literally bury it, that I have a problem with.
I had an example of some Girl Scouts put out a geocache. All right, so, like, I'm going to get mad at Girl Scouts, really? They have...
Throw the cookies in the air.
Exactly. I don't want those caramel clusters, you person, you. But literally what they did is they had a sidewalk. Next to the sidewalk, they had these sidewalk stones, you know, the bigger stones that you could walk on. They're ornate. And mm-hmm. somebody lifted up one of the stones, dug a perfect square for this small lock and lock box, placed mm-hmm. the lock and lock in the hole, covered it with the stone. Now, to me, that was burying, because the guidelines literally say if you've got to use a tool to put the thing in place, this is buried.
I don't think it's buried. I disagree.
What's the difference? What is that one thing that somebody goes buried, not buried? Because
buried,
that's what it
means. Buried treasure. Think buried treasure. If I have to use a stick and dig it out, that's buried. If it's a hole that's there and the cache is in the hole, I don't consider that buried.
All right.
Because here's semantics. Okay. What about the whole, if it's underground, you know, is it underground? Is that the official term? Because what about the caches, a bison hanging into a,
a spillway or what have you.
Yeah. Is that buried? Technically, that's buried. It's underground.
Yeah. So I guess it goes a lot into perception.
It's coming from the desert, and we have the, you know, we have the acronyms, the OPR and OPS is, you know, the obvious pile of rocks and sticks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But moving up here where everything is covered with leaves and
8 feet of snow
and other things, there's a lot of hides that have had a difficulty finding that are like 1.5s and 2s that are really kind of disturbing to me, because I feel that they should be higher because it takes me a lot longer to find them, because they're actually placed, they're pressed down into the ground. You know, they're not really, mm-hmm. you know, divots are made in the ground with the containers, and the covering of it is the natural covering from the vegetation around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Right.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Right.
No. I think if you dig a hole, not a huge hole, but if you give a little divot to put the cash in and put something over it, I don't see an issue with that. I don't consider that buried.
If you've got to use a tool to dig it out,
then it's buried. If I have to go 2 feet down and dig it, that's buried. That's buried.
A tool to remove it, then you have to have a tool to remove earth from the top of it.
There you go, earth. You got to say earth because, like, I've had ones where you got the magnet underground and buried.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on, it's all semantics.
It is. And a lot of people take it very, very serious, and I guess that's where the big discussions come in. The one that also was I brought up what I thought was interesting, birdhouse cache. The person puts in a post and digs the post hole, puts the post in, puts it into place, screws the birdhouse onto the post. Legal or no?
The post is not the hide.
Right.
Yeah, you're still digging. So this then gets into the semantics of ownership and permission.
I think that's landowner's right to either permit or not permit that.
Right, and then that goes back to the quote that I said earlier today, earlier in the show, about the guidelines are not necessarily geared because of the permission of the landowner. It's the perception of the geocache by everybody else.
But is that a negative? Does that produce a negative perception?
That would all boil down to one's perception, which we've already agreed is not common in any way, shape, or form from anybody else. They all have their own perception. It's actually going through and saying, okay, for somebody to sit there and say the guidelines say you can do this or you can't do that, and then have it put up for perception. That's where it goes.
It's a guideline. I mean, the keyword there is guide.
Right.
I mean, come on. If you're gonna go word like the word of God, like the Bible, for Christ's sake. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a guideline.
And unfortunately,
there's not a reviewer who's going to really nitpick this. I mean, because if we were going to do that, I mean, let's take, for example, W.V. Timms hides.
Right.
Right.
Are we going to say that they're now illegal?
Good point.
What impact have they had on geocaching?
And you know he went out and got permission from every one of the landowners on exactly what he's going to do. Good point. The other part that they had here was what is the principle or the definition of defacing property or nature? So in other words, putting a nail in a tree, actually, if you really want to know this, because I've actually done research on this, if you put a nail and keep it in a tree without removing it, does zero damage. It does not damage the tree at all.
Well, I think it's for post. That's not the issue. The issue was if you cut the tree down and then you put the tree in the shredder and the nail goes flying and kills somebody. I think that's the issue.
That would be a hazard, of course.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen because you find different things. I mean, I just went out geocaching last week and found half a bicycle built into a tree. Yeah, I mean,
I'm pretty cool too.
Barbed wire fences.
Oh yeah.
Are embedded in millions of trees across the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, I've never nailed a nail into a tree before.
Nor
I've never done it, but I don't see how much damage it can do. I don't understand why you would have to, personally. But
no.
You're doing it wrong.
I found one really cool cache where the person actually put a bison, drilled a small hole to fit a bison in there, and then took a piece of aluminum and took the bark that was on the tree and glued it to the aluminum and then put a screw through that into the tree so out of most angles you're not sitting, all you see is the bark and you have to pivot the out of the way to remove that.
But you don't have to do that. That's a
right.
That's a choice to do that.
Right.
Yeah, it's a choice to do that. I didn't find it offensive because I know that it's not hurting the life of the tree.
Yeah.
But if you're a nature nut, you could say you could just as easily pole. You can do it to a pole. You can, you know, you can do it to a to electric pole.
The one absolute FU geocache that drove people nuts, I went with eight other geocachers in a park, all looking for an other, went looking in this area. All there was a tree. There was a large grown tree right there. Oak, I think it was. Anyways, we're looking. Can't find it. Everybody's going nuts. Half of them are DNFing. They're going the other way. I put my hand to rest up on the tree. There was a nail this big with a nano on the end of it. And it was the same color as the bark. And it's
I had that, but it was inside the tree.
Oh.
It was inside the hollow, like up higher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just really, dude.
Exactly. That's definitely one. But I guess for me, and I actually remember the moment when I saw that, and it's like, did they really have to put a nail there? That's the one thing for me. It really is.
It's like, really, a nano?
Really? Yeah. Nano, the one, the size was the putting it there for and putting it that way. The other one, true to me, because I'm not a nature nut. I just like nature. And it's like, really? Did you have to? Really? You know, so.
No, I agree. That's
all right. Well, I guess you guys have really encouraged me to go get my own pole and instead of using the nature trees out there, because I've got this bird house that I've got to get out there. I've got the perfect spot for it.
Uh-huh.
But I was going to use the trees around. So
just hang it.
Hang it from a branch.
Hang it.
Okay.
Hang it with fishing
line. The trees are like 100 years old. The nearest branch is like 20 feet in the air.
Okay.
That's awesome. Get a ladder.
Bring a ladder.
Make it a five terrain.
There you go.
Boom. Done. You know how pissed I'd be if I looked up 25 feet and saw a freaking birdhouse with an unclimbable tree? Oh, my God. I would curse your name.
You know what? I think I'm going to do it now.
Thanks, Scott. Man, that's what you do.
It's going to be called Scott Told Me So. So F.
No, you name it. Scream My Name. That's what you call it.
I did one similar to that. It's like, and it was called You Call Me What? Because you had to go out there, and it was up a light post. And you're looking around, and I thought it was around the rocks, and all of a sudden you look up, and there's this magnetic little key box.
Oh.
Stuck 20 feet up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I've seen nanos like that, too. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was the first to find. It was raining, and it was muddy, and it was horrible. And yeah, I know who did it. It was a friend of mine. And I called him and told him exactly what I called him.
That's why you carry those Christmas light ornament poles with the grabber.
No, I have a golf ball retriever.
Same thing, yep.
I didn't even think about that. I got one that'll do 25 feet. Yeah,
there you go.
Dude, $14 on Amazon, a golf ball retriever. I've used it 100 times.
Yeah.
The greatest thing ever.
Hiking poles and some duct tape.
Yep.
It's like climb up onto the base and reach them. Bam! That's a
3-inch thick of PVC around the back of this bowling alley and hauled it over to the slate.
everybody should have a golf ball retriever.
It was a pain in the butt throwing it back up and getting it to stick to that light post. I think I finally managed after about 20 minutes to get it higher than it originally was, though.
There you go. That's good. Just takes practice.
In Chicago, we have pump it up caches. What those are, I don't know if anybody of you guys have those. In abandoned gas stations, you know, they have the roofs.
No, we don't have abandoned gas stations.
No, we have abandoned gas stations. And on the roof, what they do is they take a film canister and a magnet in the top, in the you tape it to the bottom, and you throw it up there and it sticks.
Oh.
And that's the pump it up cache. And you got to get it down and then throw it back up. And it's an art to throwing it up to get it caught up there. It really is an art. Yeah, pump it up.
Don't miss. Just saying.
Whole series of them in Chicago.
All right, one last thing before we get going. Getting the right permission from the right person and going that way. How much, I'm just out of pure curiosity, this just popped in my head. I'd be curious from you guys what you think it is. Legitimately or accurately, out of all the, we've got 2 million geocaches that are out there, what percentage do you think actually has permission of the cache, the landowner, to put it in?
Less than 1%.
20%.
No. 0.2%.
Less than 1%.
I would have to go with that. I really would.
Maybe the EC Highway bumps it up to 1%, but that's really about it.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I figured, too. One of the things, and I actually, to be honest with you, we've got so many geocaches out there now, I really think it's to the point that they should enforce a better way of getting permission and having some form of permission putting a geocache up.
Impossible. How are you going to enforce that?
I don't know. I don't have the answers. No, I just have the situations. Yeah. That's why we have a podcast.
I got permission for the majority of mine, but... No, honestly, I did. I actually had, I mean, even for, like, it was tough getting permission for some of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you go into the woods, who are you asking permission to? Mr. Deer over there? Hey, Bambi, can I drop this here? I mean, who are you asking permission
I've actually to? Called, I've called.
I did some of mine, you know, in places where I knew that there were, you know, there's a lot of places that there are landowners, and all you got to do is give them a call.
Yeah, if you call the city clerk or the county clerk, a lot of times all you have to do is give the – well, back then they didn't know how to work with GPS points. Could you tell me the side street that this is off of so I can figure out where this is at and go that way? But if you call your county clerk, they do have records where you can sit there nowadays and say, look, this is a GPS spot where it is. Who owns the land there? And they will get you a number. Whether the landowner actually – responds is another issue, but you can do that. But the kicker is, a lot of times, not only are we flux on getting permission of putting it out and just saying, you know, better to give permission than go that way, is people that do like vacation caches, where they will go through on a trip and just place a geocache. And, you know, give that little fib to the reviewer saying, yeah, I live 800 miles away from the cache, but I know somebody who's right there.
My in-laws live here.
Yeah, they're going to watch it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of them, the one of the things that they were talking in the forum with that was somebody that lived in another country. And really? Put this thing on in a cemetery kind of situation. They said they got permission, but it was by the guide who had taken them on a tour that said, yeah, that'd be a good place to put a geocache. Yeah, go for it. And then go that way.
I did put one in the park where the last remaining ape cache was, but I did get permission from the landowner. I do have the person that takes care of the ape cache down there said that he would maintain it for me, and I gave him multiple containers to maintain it with.
Oh, yeah. And that's awesome. I've got one up in Michigan.
You're a good owner. Look at you.
I actually have one up for Michigan Magazine up in Michigan that their magazine store is right on the property. And when I went up there to do an interview with them, put a geocache because they loved the idea of putting it in there. Yeah, they watch it and away it goes. As long as you do that, it's great. It's the ones where, you know, somebody puts something somewhere and gets somebody upset.
Right.
And go that way is the part that they go
and
through.
And it happens all the time.
Well, you know.
King Billy's cache that's on Disney's Castaway Key Island was a vacation cache. And it's been out there for years. And now it was a relatively large glass jar that was stuck in a fake coconut. and it still survives, as far as I know, still survives to this day. But it is stuffed full of paper after paper after paper.
Oh, so being for all the hits.
Yeah, so much so that when I was out there a few years ago and did the cache, I actually took about half of the paper out, stuck it in my pocket, and walked away. It's like, that was my giving to maintenance of it because you could get more paper in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to do that.
It's not like the guy is ever going to come back and check. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That's what the digital log's for. How about for the people? One of the ones that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, too. I don't mind, for example, if you put a geocache on a, say, in a cemetery, I've seen some very clever hides where you take one part of the bench, the honorary bench for somebody had passed away. There was one very nicely fit exactly. You could not tell the difference if whether this piece needed to be there or not. It fit perfectly. Had no problem with that. But when you get some people that just like take for granted and screw the geocache to the bottom of the bench.
Oh, no.
And go that way. That kind of stuff. That's where I tend to think is more of a destructive type of geocaching hide, let alone, you know, they didn't get permission from the cemetery to do that, and then right. just to do something like that.
Cemetery caches, in general, I'm not a big fan of. I do them, and you know, but the spirit quests is what they're called out here.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of. I just, you know, it's shocking because I'm kind of an a-hole, and yet I have a soft spot for dead people.
There you go. I do the same thing here, living
in themselves. Is that why?
You know, like, don't mess with it, you know, like, let it be.
Yeah.
And people tramping around, unless the guy was actually a geocacher and, like, it's just in the tree next to my tombstone, which is, hell, I want that.
Yes.
Know, like, place it in the tree next to mine.
Yes.
But, like, I went to one where, like, someone was like, this is my mother. I'm like, really? You think your mom wants people coming to her? You know, like.
Really? Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that. Right. And then it's just normal ones.
While you're signing the log, at least say hi, mom. You know,
something. Well, I think Scott and I talked about this before in the past too. We want to have not only have a trackable on our stones, right. but have a little compartment in the stone itself where you push a little thing and the log comes out. I'm just saying.
I would definitely have a GC code on mine.
Oh, make
no mistake about that. Yeah, that'll be in my will.
I've informed the correct people.
Headstone.
Most
please
definitely.
Don't take me to events.
That's it. Wow. All right, yeah. Good stuff. But yeah, this just I think this all boils down to use common sense. And I know that gives a snicker because we see so many examples where it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
it really, you know, when you can't really talk to people and get permission, because the coolest thing is you never know who you really talk to. When I was placing the majority of my caches, and I haven't really placed a cache for probably 2 to 3 years.
Really?
Well, with the move and everything.
Oh, yeah, it makes a difference.
I haven't placed any caches. You know, and I've been constantly moving for the past 2 years. I haven't owned a house up here yet. Mm-hmm. We've been in like 6 different places. You guys,
we remember the church.
Remember the church? I was going to say.
Yeah, I remember the church. I was homeless in the church for a while. I mean, well, I wasn't homeless, I was in the church. Yay! But, you know, so it's just, it was really cool because you never know who you really get to meet and you really get to talk to. And, yeah, you get those people who tell you no.
Yes.
But, I mean, one of the coolest experiences was I got to place a cache on, you know, the Sinclair dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The old green dinosaurs.
We have a really iconic one down in St. George, Utah, and it actually got just totally vandalized. I mean, someone took its head.
Ooh.
And it was just horrible. They pulled it out. And it was gone for a while.
That would be a headlessaurus.
And damn, they actually finally decided to replace it. And so I called, and it took me about 3 weeks to get a hold of the landowner. And finally got a hold of him. I said, look, I said, I know how important this is that you actually replaced it. I says, and this is, you know, this is the one thing that you really see. And I've always been intrigued. I love the Sinclair dinosaurs. And I says, I hope you'll allow me to place a cache here. And so he did, and, you know, he was really excited because he knew a little bit about geocaching, and we got to talk about it. So, I mean, it was really – it's just a cool experience to talk to people and to be able to, you know, get a good rapport out there for geocaching.
Absolutely. You're going to get yeses. You're going to get nos. Ignore the nos. Keep going until you get a yes. Because otherwise, you know, what's the sense? But yeah, that's absolutely. You find those really cool markers and whatnot and go that way. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think it is time to move on here. And thanks, guys. Taz, good to see you back, sir, in the homestead.
Yes, Taz, officially, are you officially back now? Are you done, moved, finished?
I'm done, moved. Not unpacked by any means, but
no,
done,
but you're
moved.
In. But you're in with the family, right?
I'm in the new house with the family.
All right.
Congratulations.
On excellent. We're sending you a copy of San Andreas just for you.
it's October, which
if
marks
it falls my... into the sea, that just means I'll have oceanfront property.
It will be
oceanfront property.
it is mid October, which means it's my second anniversary here on this show.
Oh, congratulations! That's right.
2 years. Absolutely. 2 years.
Wow, who'd have thunk?
2 years. Where'd that go?
It just all goes. This gets whiter and it goes. And next thing you know, you're done.
You can relive the whole year. It's all on the internet.
Yep, go see. It's on the website. Go check them out. All the ones that we saved are out there. Man, good stuff. All right, guys, let's move this on. And, let me hit this thing over here. Thank you, fine folks, for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you to Lisa for cache-advance.com for everything you do. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production, and it's produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.